Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have Kathy Mazzarella on the show today. Kathy is the chairman, president, and CEO of Graybar. Well, Kathy, I am so delighted. Thank you so, so much for making the time. I know how busy you are, so I just feel so honored that you're making the time to be on the Something Extra podcast.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to it because you're such a positive, inspirational person. I feel honored that you'd ask me to join you.
Kathy, I want to just jump right in. I know that you did not grow up in Rochester, but you went to school in Rochester. You grew up, oldest girl of five?
There were five children. I was the oldest girl. We had one boy. So I had one brother older than I, but I was the oldest of the four girls. Yes. And I grew up in Southern California.
Right. And then you went to school in Rochester. I don't know if you want to talk about that piece at all. I mean, high school was kind of hard. We all go through struggles, right? And sometimes high school can be really hard. And I think especially, I mean, I had two girls and a son, and I just see sometimes, unfortunately, women are not always nice to each other. And it's more of a competitive kind of scenario. And so just to be an encourager to, you know, some of the younger women, it gets better.
It gets better. And high school needs to be an opportunity where you build your own strength. When I went into high school, I was very shy, pretty withdrawn. I would say not very confident. And during high school, I got engaged in a lot of activities, including running for office every year. And I never won until I ran my junior year for student body president. And I'll never forget, I was up against the girl that had won the last 3 years, the class president. And it was this group of four girls that won every single year. So I was running against this one woman and I thought, there's no way I'm going to win, but I'm going to try my best. With the encouragement of some of my sisters who actually were in high school at the same time, I said, we're going to not play checkers, which is typically the way people are. It's more, I knew I had to engage a community to get me elected. And so I worked with a bunch of different high school communities. Let's put away some of the forgotten groups, which we all know who they are.
Yes, yes.
And I actually won. I was the only one that beat any of the four girls. The other three won their respective offices. And I remember that was the first time I realized that if I put my mind to it and I engaged a community of people to support it, that I could do things that others thought was impossible.
Great lesson early on. And there's something else packed in there. I believe in people. I think every person matters. That's what something extra is all about, that we are all given something extra. And so I love what you just said. You reached into groups that, you know, maybe were the forgotten groups. And I've always tried to be that too. I don't believe in the elitist, the cliques. I mean, I want to be that person to everybody because you know what? Everybody matters. Everybody's important. Everybody's here for a purpose.
Everybody has a unique gift. I find people very different than me, much more interesting than me.
Sure.
Absolutely. People different than you make you a better person.
And everybody has a story.
Yeah, everybody has a story. So I want to get into your career because I think you went into school. Did you have a full ride? I think you were going to go into medicine. Is that right?
Yes.
So you go away to college and then I guess you decided you really didn't like it. You didn't like medicine, maybe. That's not really the path for me. So tell us about that story.
Yeah, I received the Bausch & Lomb Science and Math Scholarship to go to the University of Rochester. After about a year, I decided that was probably not the path for me. So one of the hardest calls I ever made was to my parents to say, I'm coming home, I'm dropping out. That was like something you just didn't do in our family. So my parents were like, okay, come home. They had just moved up to the San Francisco Bay Area. So I moved in with them and I didn't know anything about the San Francisco area. After about 3 days living with my parents, we mutually decided I needed to get a job and get out. So I went for a job interview and got lost and went in to ask for directions. And the place I went to said, are you looking for a job? I said, yeah. They said, we're hiring. Do you want to take the test? I said, sure. And 3 days later, I started at Graybar.
And that began a journey. And I know I have said to you, Kathy, when I think about a couple things, I think about climbing the corporate ladder. You're an awesome example of that. And then the other thing that people may or may not know about you, you are one of only 36 CEOs of Fortune 500 companies that are female. And I think when you became CEO, it was like 18 or something like that. You know, so the other thing I think about you is shattering the glass ceiling. So talk to us a little bit about your journey, how you started, and then we'll get into a few other things.
Well, I was very fortunate that I found a home with a company that shared the same values as I did. And I think that's important for anybody is to look at not just the job opportunity, but is it a place where you can make a difference and that you feel valued? So I started at 19 as a college dropout, making $5 an hour as a customer service rep. I had no idea of the industry. I had no idea what the job was, but all I knew is I needed a job. So I started out as a customer service rep, and the people I worked with, as well as my customers, taught me the business, which is also very fortunate because I would ask for help and they would help me. And I think it's because I didn't try to fake that I knew something and that when I said I would do something, I followed up on it, that people felt I was worth helping. So I advanced pretty quickly. I was pretty fortunate. I went into sales before the age of 21. And it was ironic because back in the day, they used to drink at lunch. They used to have cocktails at lunch.
Oh, my.
This is 40 years ago. So it was a different business environment. And I wasn't able to in the state of California buy alcohol. Because I was 20 years old in sales. So my customers wouldn't drink at lunch, which was a great thing because I didn't drink at lunch. So it was a really interesting environment to go into a sales role also, where I didn't really know a lot about the product, but I knew I needed to take care of my customers. That was the basic lesson. I was very fortunate to advance quickly. I transferred to St. Louis, which also was our company's headquarters, to marry my husband, my boyfriend of 10 years. We decided to get married after 10 years, was able to pursue new opportunities. Every time a new job would come up, somebody would either tap me on the shoulder and say, what about this position? Or in some cases, I would ask for an opportunity, especially if it was scary. I think it's very important for people to understand that some of the best development opportunities in a career is to take a job where you're not comfortable. Because if you're too comfortable, that means you're overqualified for the job.
That is awesome advice. Get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that's such a, it's so counter to the way we feel. Like it's like, oh, we need to be qualified for that job. Well, no, that's where you're going to grow when you're in that uncomfortable situation.
Absolutely. It tests your limits. It helps you learn a lot about yourself. It helps you learn a lot about your own resiliency. People always say, well, I'm not qualified. You know, this job needs 10 things and I only have 9. Well, if you have half of the qualifications, take the job. You're going to learn a lot. And that's the point of advancing, right? Is to learn more about yourself, develop more of your potential, develop more of your skills. So I was in a bunch of different jobs. I went into sales, product management, marketing, operations, international strategy. HR was the biggest.
HR, right.
Mm-hmm. Which actually was a great opportunity for me. It taught me a lot more about the value of employees I mean, that really was what anchored me in the value of employees.
Right. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point, because when I think about you too, because I've read a little bit about your management style, and there's an old Japanese term called Gemba, and I've read about you. You go to where the work is being done. And Kathy, I think that's so important. You cannot sit in your corner office and expect the business to advance. You've got to go where the work is being done so you can see, you know, maybe the challenges that people need to overcome and that sort of thing. So I think that is such a great piece of advice.
You need to talk to the people that work in your organization about the things that matter to them, right? I mean, especially in our case, we're an employee-owned company. So this is our company. It's not my company. It's not their company. It's our company. They have every right to know, you know, what their leadership is like. They need to ask the questions about where we're heading as an organization, what's important, and how we're doing. You've got to be able to share the good and the bad of how we're doing while balancing it with a bounded optimism. As a leader in the organization, you have to present the good stuff and the not so good stuff, but you also have to tell your employees where you're heading and have a true belief that things will continue to get better or that you will continue to progress and how you're going to get there. And the only way employees are going to go with you on this path is if they trust you, which means you've got to be transparent with them.
Exactly. Oh, so important. And I know that for you, the culture at Gray Bar is very special. Like you said, it's employee owned. I think the company is 151 years old.
Yep. 151 years.
151 years old, 90 years of employee owned. And so I know the culture is very, very special. And I read something about you, like the key to building a right culture, you said, is having the right people. Having the right people on the bus, they have to equal the values of the organization. And you said it from the very beginning, Kathy. You said you were fortunate because you found a company where the company values aligned with your own personal values. So I think that's so important, because if you're misaligned there, that employee, number one, is not going to be passionate and engaged in what you're doing. The second thing you said is authentic two-way communication. I'm emphasizing the two-way. It's not you just talking at them, right?
Right. I need to answer the questions that are on their mind. As an executive, you have a very broad view of what's going on. So I have access to a lot more information than they would, because their job is to come in every day to take care of the customer. So their world is about that customer. I need to handle the big stuff so that they can focus on what's really important, which is taking care of the customer. But they also need to understand the bigger picture so that they don't get afraid, right? When people don't understand what's going on, it creates a sense of fear. And when you're an employee-owned company, we are in for the long haul. Too often companies look at a quarter-to-quarter type of mentality. In our case, we have the advantage that everything we do is about the long-term impact to the company. We want employees who are going to be here for a career like myself, right? I'm in my 41st year with the company. We also have long-term customer relationships. It's not unusual for us to have customers for 50 or 75 years. That also is very unusual in today's business environment. So for us, it's a relationship with the leadership and our employees and our customers. It's in a very important community that we need to continue to nurture. And the way to do that is by having trust through open communication.
Yes. Oh my goodness. There's so much in there that I just absolutely love. You've got to take care of the big stuff so they can focus on what's really important, which is the customer. Without customers, you do not exist. And we've already kind of touched on this, but the third thing you said is show the employees how they can make a difference. And I think innately, Kathy, I do think people want to believe that their work matters.
I think people want to know they matter, not just their work, but that they matter and that they can actually impact something. It's a relevance issue. We all want to be relevant. And the way we're relevant is by taking care of others. One of the things early on in this pandemic, as people were struggling with the stress, it was just the fear of the pandemic, their personal lives were in an upheaval, there's an economic challenge, is early on, I kept thinking to myself, the best way to manage this is by getting outside of this internal dialogue and focusing on other people. Because when we help other people, it helps us. So we put a big emphasis on taking care of, again, our customers and our community as a whole I went to our social media team and I said, look, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the positive things that our people are doing to make a difference in a difficult situation, because we need to lift everybody up and show there is hope. And at the end of the day, the difference in our lives is the humanity of taking care of each other.
You know what? This is why I love you. Our hearts are so aligned. It's just crazy. Greg and I, we founded Technology Partners 26 years ago from the very beginning, and we've not changed this. We have always said, if we take care of our employees will take care of our customers, and then our success will follow. We won't think about our success. Let's think about our employees and making this an awesome place for them, where they feel cared for, loved, like family, equipped, all those things. They'll take care of our clients, and then our success will follow that.
And then you all get lifted up, right? We all get lifted. You know, the stories that have come out this year just reinforces as a leader that I need to continue to step up my game, because they deserve a leader who's going to be out there fighting the good fight and working beside them as hard as they work every single day. We have this one woman, her house was flooding. Her basement was flooding, but the customer needed the product. So she let her basement flood out, took care of the customer, because that was the most important thing, is to help them. And then she took care of her personal situation. She's a hero to me.
Mm-hmm, no doubt. Well, Kathy, I want to get into more of those stories, because I just love the stories. But we need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Kathy Mazzarella.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
Welcome back. So, Kathy, oh my goodness, you and I could talk hours and hours about culture. You know, one of the quotes, and I told you this is a Kathyism, you said, when your employees succeed, recognize and celebrate their effort, but when they fail, use it as an opportunity to help them learn and grow. And you said it's kind of your mom look. They tell you about when they failed. But I just love that about you. And, you know, we've talked so much about stories. You've got so many stories during this pandemic about the caring and the concern, even for retirees. So tell us one story about something that happened with a retiree.
Well, one of the things that we do is, when our people retire from Graybar, they're still part of our family, as we like to describe it. So what we do is we always check on them during any kind of difficult situation, like the hurricanes. We'll call all the retirees to make sure they're okay if they need anything. Well, when the pandemic hit, we called our retirees to find out how they were doing. And one of our retirees in Louisville was a shut-in. He was very scared and wouldn't go out. He had no food. So he had a grocery list of 5 items: soup, tuna, bread, milk, and eggs. That's it. So our local management decided to take it upon themselves and get their own money to buy this gentleman groceries, way in addition to those 5 items. And the local management continues to check on him regularly every week to make sure he's taken care of. The retiree was so grateful, he cried when we called him, because he said he never expected this kind of kindness. When I asked our managers about it, they said, well, that's just what we do.
Yeah, and I've often told you, our little Allie, which is our youngest, when she's so helpful, but she'll say, well, that's what families do.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of like, once a part of the Graybar family, always a part of the Graybar family.
That's exactly right. That's what we say all the time.
Yeah, that definitely is a great tagline. So I have to ask you, for our technology people that listen, how has technology played into Graybar all these years? I mean, how do you see technology?
Technology is very important, especially with distribution. It always is. And we view technology as a way to enable people to do more. That's basically, it enhances human capability. We describe it as, technology is the science that needs to be balanced with the art of humanity. And the two together is what will make a company recognize their true potential. One without the other, you're going to limit yourself as to what you're able to accomplish. And so for us, technology is always about freeing people up to do the things that they need to focus on from the customer side, where they need to use judgment and creativity. the technology, use that for all the stuff that isn't providing value to our customer.
I love that. We always say we're business people first and technology second.
Yep.
Technology for technology's sake is really to solve business challenges, right? And to your point, free people up to maybe do more strategic things
right.
in the company. So that is great. Tell me a little bit, because I know that you started a group and it's called Wings. You recognize, right, how difficult it is sometimes for women to move into leadership roles. We've already talked about this a little bit. And so you started a group called Wings, and it stands for Women Influencing Graybar Success. I love that. Can you tell us a little bit about that group?
Sure. We formed Wings many, many years ago as a way to provide a networking opportunity and professional development opportunity for women. Now, we have 289 locations, and so in some locations, we may just have one woman because it's a remote location. We started this, and it had to become organic. When one of the basis of this was that it couldn't be about me. It had to come from the ground up so that it could sustain itself forever. The other thing about Wings was it wasn't just for women. This really was about engaging the men in our organization also so that collectively we can all get better. At our events, when we had our face-to-face events, at least 50% of the participants were men because we focused on different type of developmental opportunities as well as community outreach programs that would help everybody, regardless of their gender. And what we found is more and more men got involved because they found value in talking with women about the issues that were important to them. Wings has just been extraordinarily successful. It also launched various other types of women outreach programs with our supplier community. It's been in our industry also. So it was the basis of a much broader influence than just our own company.
Right. Well, I love that. And we talk about this a lot, diversity and inclusion. You cannot surround yourself with people that look just like you, can you, Kathy?
Nope.
You know, really the most robust companies out there are very diverse and inclusive. But the thing that I love about what you just said, it was intentional.
Yes.
It doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional about this. So I love that you're building into other women. But I want you to tell our listeners about a story where you were up for a VP role. And talk to us about that story and the important lessons that you learned through that.
It was a really interesting situation. I had worked a lot. I'd worked weekends, evenings. I used to bring my daughters with me to the office on Saturday to help me out. And there was a job that came up. It was a senior job. And it was between myself and a gentleman, and I didn't get the job. I had given up a lot of time, effort, again, personal life for this career opportunity, and I didn't get the job. And I found out I was going to be reporting to the person who got the job. And I was like, I'm done. I mean, there's nothing else I can do. I had won these awards. I had done all this stuff. And I was like, I can't do anymore. So I called my dad, and my dad said, stop it right now. People are going to watch the way you recover. And it's all in your recovery and how you handle this and how you move forward that will determine your career. It's not this one event. And I was like, Daddy goes, no. He goes, trust me, people are watching you. And he said, step up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Learn from this and move on. So as soon as I hung up from my dad, I called the gentleman who got the job and I said, congratulations. What can I do to help you be successful? And off we went. Well, later on in my career, one of the people who had the opportunity to vote for me for president told me that he watched the way I handled that situation. And what he realized at the time was that I put the company needs ahead of my own and that I actually stepped up and did the right things when faced with a setback. And it altered his opinion of me at that point. I also learned, looking back, that I probably wasn't ready for that job. That I actually became a better leader because of the opportunities, the different positions I had to work my way up. I mean, I went into HR after that, which was an extraordinary opportunity to learn about myself and the company and the value of our people. I would have never been in HR or had that career path if I would have gotten that original vice president job. So that setback taught me a lot about myself, taught me a lot about the fact that I wasn't ready and they probably knew it and that there was a whole lot more development that I needed to become a more effective leader.
Oh, I love that so much. And I said early on, a friend of mine in Nashville, love her, Elise Mitchell, we were talking and she said, it's really think about how you're going to show up during this pandemic. How do you want to be remembered?
Absolutely.
And so it reminds me of that, Kathy. It's like every situation, I mean, we will have disappointments, we will have setbacks, but whether win or lose, still show up with grace and doing the right thing. You did the right thing by calling him up and saying, congratulations, how can I help you? That's huge.
Absolutely.
So that's great. So Kathy, this is called Something Extra. So what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
To me, the something extra that every leader needs is a genuine belief in the power of your organization and in the potential of your people, really to achieve a lasting success. And a leader has to have a vision of what's possible and then a belief that your team can and are going to get there. It's not something you can fake either. People know. If you say you believe in something or someone and your actions don't align, you're going to lose all credibility. And once you lose that trust, you can't get that trust back. Trust takes a long time to build, but it's very, very quick to lose it. The genuine beliefs also, and you've seen this because you're very passionate, right? And you've got a lot of energy and commitment around your organization and what you're doing to move even people forward, right? That's one of the reasons these podcasts are extraordinary. And genuine belief also expresses itself in an energy and a commitment. Sometimes you're the cheerleader, rah, rah, everything's great. And other times you've got to deliver some tough feedback as to what's not going right with a balance of, it's not going right, but we're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm. You called it bounded optimism.
Yeah. Anything that's unrealistic doesn't make sense because it's not going to be easy. This pandemic's not easy. I tell our team all the time, we're going to get through this. I never had any doubt we're going to get through this and be okay because I believe in them, our people, and we've been through tough things before. So it's really about the resilience of the people in the organization. But also, we're going to come out different. We're going to be a little bit banged up. We're going to have some scars and bruises and stuff like that, but we're going to be better because we're going to learn what really matters to us and to each other. And at the end of the day, the only thing that truly matters in our life and even in business is helping others be successful and taking care of others, whether it's your customers, your employees, your retirees, or your community. That's what's going to make the difference in life.
Oh, I could not agree more. I love what you just said. I feel like, you know, because you and I have talked about this, we will come out of it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we will come out of it a little bruised, but hopefully we're going to be better for it, you know, because we're taking the time to be introspective. I think, you know, we talk about the acceleration of technology. I mean, there were a lot of companies that didn't think they could work remotely, right? And now
right.
We all are having to figure that one out, right? And zooming from one thing to the other. So yeah, I do believe that. And so I hope I don't come out the same person. I hope our organization doesn't come out the same as we were pre-pandemic. Let's be better. Well, Kathy, this has been so much fun. I have absolutely loved this interview. I just know our listeners are going to love it and they're going to learn from you. And so I just can't thank you enough for sharing your wisdom today and being on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you. You are a special person yourself.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.